Who's Afraid of Sunburns?
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Place to go. Well, here we go. It's Friday. We didn't talk about a final terrible song of the week, did we, for the Valentine's Day?
I got plenty.
Yes? Let's discuss this. Let's have an off-air meeting on which is the terrible song we haven't played yet. We haven't had a modern reference.
I got a lot of 90s, okay. 90s slow rap. You know, real romantic
stuff. You know,
stuff.
I already hate it, just real based on the category. Romantic. Just based on the genre.
Yo, we're so romantic.
312-981-7200 is the number. If you want to be Lou's first call, you can get in line right now. 312-981-7200. If you have a home improvement question, you can call, you can text.
And we have a new prize for that.
What is it?
It's the desktop weather station, where it'll tell you the temperature in any room you put it in, which is nice. That way, I like to have that because when I tell everyone here at work that our office is cold, then I can walk around with our weather station and say, hey, see, it says 63 in here.
Well, if you'd like to use it for that or any other reason, you can win one today.
That's from American Weather Makers, heating and cooling the 60-minute men.
312-981-7200. All right, let's get to the top six at six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
How about them Blackhawks? Okay, not the first period, the second period and the third period mostly. Blackhawks won last. That was the final score, Dave.
Final score was 5-2. Your Blackhawks over the New Jersey Devils.
Did I see you on TV last night doing Blackhawks TV?
Yes, yes.
Was that fun?
I did. Yeah, it's fun.
You don't like having people standing behind you heckling and yelling.
Well, they weren't heckling. They weren't heckling. I mean, they do it to Pat Boyle every night.
He's used to it. Would you like to have a semicircle behind you on this show, just chanting and
every
talking
morning?
And ordering concessions?
Holding up signs?
Holding up signs, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
I think during the first intermission, I saw there was an aggressive young girl, maybe 10, right near Dave and Steve Conroy.
She's trying to get
on
TV.
Very vocal. Yeah.
Hey, look at me!
Mm-hmm. See, the nice thing is I can't hear them.
Nah, fair point.
Because of the headphones.
Yes.
Because you're wearing the headset, right. Yeah.
No, because he refuses to listen.
Because I can't hear.
But anyway, I thought you did a nice job, and the Hawks
win.
And that's good. And tomorrow night, it's Columbus in their home, and I'll be there tomorrow night, so I'll make sure things are okay.
Please do.
Straighten things out. Next, president's expected to sign a budget bill today. The bill is nothing close to what he wanted. So, today, in case you haven't, if you haven't made any plans for your Friday, plan on a national emergency at 10 a.m. this morning.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's very rare when you get to plan an emergency, but in this case, you will, starting at 10 a.m. this morning when the president speaks. Now, the one way he could really screw everybody up is not declare a national emergency at 10 a.m. and then go, well, this is what the people do. The people think I'm going to do something. Say I'm going to be a terrible person.
Right.
Don't do it. Now, the chances of not doing that are slim because he wants this to happen. There is no national emergency. The border problems are the same border problems they were before. There's less people crossing by a factor of 80% than there was in 2000. So this is a complete political stunt, and it should not be allowed. Now, it'll go to court. There's a possible chance the Senate and the House could overturn it. But starting today at 10 a.m., just know
there's an emergency.
We got a national emergency.
And if it's allowed to go forward, every president from here on out will use a national emergency to get whatever they want.
This is the deal. This is why Mitch McConnell's changing the rules for the Supreme Court is such a big deal. You set these precedents. You tee up the next party to come in to do it to you. And, it's just completely unhealthy. And that's why you got to vote the bums out.
National emergency for climate change, maybe gun control.
Whatever you want.
I can see all those coming.
The Senate also, one other national story, Senate confirmed President Trump's pick for Attorney General, General William Barr, who served under George H.W. Bush. And let's give him a chance to disappoint us before we assume he will. Next, Amazon pulls out of New York City for the second headquarters. After a push by local lawmakers questioning the tax cuts they were getting, the incentives they were getting, no word on whether they'll stay in Northern Virginia or move to another city. Nashville's in the mix. Mayor Emanuel and Governor Pritzker said, we'd like back in. Amazon seemed to signal yesterday they're just going to scrap it and they're going to stick with the locations.
Could you imagine if tomorrow Jeff Bezos came out and said, we're coming to Chicago?
Yeah. Listen, we take them.
I don't know, but if they're worried about local lawmaker interference in New York, I think they're going to get a bigger slice of that pie.
But here's the problem. Don't fall for these political stunts, because here's the deal. Yeah. You don't wait to react to these giant tax cuts and things that businesses are offered. They're offered them all the time. Vote the people out who are giving these away.
But here's the issue with New York, and it was the same in Chicago. That's all secretive. They didn't know what they were giving away. They were giving $1.3, $1.4 billion. $1.5 billion is what New York City gave away without the lawmakers there knowing. We don't know. You and I don't know what Chicago and Rahm Emanuel and Governor Rauner gave. If tomorrow, Steve, they came in and they said,
I get it.
$2.5 billion we gave to get them here.
But it's 25,000 jobs. Here's what I do. I take the 25,000 jobs, and then I'd go, you gave away this, and this. You're out.
Yeah.
That's it. Take the jobs.
The question is, like we see in our neighboring state of Wisconsin with Foxconn, they promised a lot of jobs, and those jobs didn't necessarily come to fruition. But and so the question is Amazon doing the same thing?
Well, but that's all actionable. That's all stuff you can do. Are you going to now suddenly say to businesses, don't come?
But that's what New York City was doing. New York City's lawmakers said, hey, we want some stuff on the record, and Amazon said, we're out. Nothing on the record.
Then get out of the bid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I like that New York did that, only in the sense that they said, hey, we're not giving you a blank check. There's going to be some stipulations.
I don't like it.
And then they walked.
I don't like it. Payback's
a
bitch.
I blame Amazon for that.
Somebody here this week said that this was a bluff on our show. I don't remember who was calling this a bluff, that this wasn't really going to get pulled out.
And they did it.
I'm going to go back to the tapes and find out.
It was Amazon Prime.
Let's go to the tapes.
Who was wrong on
it was Amazon
our
Prime.
Show.
Next, speaking of Governor Pritzker, the House voted yes in raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Governor able to fulfill a campaign promise a week before his first budget address. How's it going to get paid for? That plan will be laid out next Wednesday. It'll be a step-up version similar to what goes on in the city here, what goes on around the country.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just go from 10 to 15 or 11 to 15 because that would be crippling to businesses, but businesses ought to be able to handle a step-up of $1 a year or whatever it is till you get to the number.
The one thing I'll say is there are a lot of minimum wage jobs in the state government, and the question will be how do we have money to pay for a raise essentially for those workers. That's what the governor's going to lay out on Wednesday.
I would love to see everybody in the House and the Senate in Springfield making minimum wage. I would love to see them making minimum wage going forward, because they are delivering, and frankly, they'd be overpaid. They're delivering at a level that's what they're worth.
Is he doing the Rauner thing where he's not taking money?
I don't know. Based on the amount of money he spent on the campaign, he ought to be finding dimes anywhere he can. Next, the Jussie Smollett story continues to be more and more, confusing.
Gosh.
The reports that sources in the police department were investigating the attack as a hoax, but then the CPD came out last night on Twitter, said that's absolutely inaccurate. We are not investigating it as a hoax.
What is the truth? And I've never seen, correct me if I'm wrong, but you guys, have you ever seen police come out and over the time in any case going, we're investigating it and maybe it's not true?
it's
bizarre, the stuff that's coming out of the police department. And now that they have leaks and people are giving to the media has gone hog wild. I have to say, yesterday Dean was blaming it on bloggers and people in the internet, but I feel like the players, the media, and the police have confused this case more than anybody.
Well, but it is a dangerous social media deciding what's criminal, what isn't, what happened, and what didn't. The Chicago Police Department, if they thought this was an absolute hoax, I don't think they'd hide it. But by the same token, it's not their responsibility to say, you guys are worried about this. You got a lot going on this weekend. Let me just tell you what's happening. They're trying to figure it out.
I think this would be the perfect place for a no comment.
Yeah.
instead, we're getting a maybe, maybe not.
From an investigative point of view, there's a reason they would continue it to, they wouldn't say anything. They want to catch whoever, they're not going to give away either of their hands, right? They're not going to say it's a hoax.
It seems to me like they have in their communication with the press, they have kept an open door, and the press has taken that and run with it. The headlines alone yesterday were a hoax and investigation for fraud, like all of the things that Jussie Smollett went on Good Morning America.
I don't know the guy. I don't know any reason he would do it. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't, but he was attacked in some form, and he deserves the benefit of the doubt until it's proven that it's not true.
Fascinating to watch how this is all playing out.
And finally, drinking Diet Coke may kill you. The latest study says increasing the risk of dying young for a stroke or heart attack. You know, I was thinking about this as I was finishing my Diet Coke this morning.
That's a mean story that Justin put on there.
I didn't put it on. This is an audible.
Yeah. Oh.
This is a Steve Cochran audible.
I thought you were lashing out because I made fun of LaCroix earlier this week.
We had this story yesterday in our newscast.
Right, that women over the age of 50 are more likely to have a stroke or a heart attack if they drink more than two Diet Cokes a day.
African-American women as well.
Who's drinking two Diet Cokes a day?
Oh, I only have one.
Yeah.
What do you mean, who's drinking two Diet Cokes?
Yeah, I would say that's a low level.
Yeah, that's
a low
end. That's a low end.
Especially people that stop at McDonald's and get a Diet
Coke. I know people that have five and six Diet Cokes a day.
You think it's like medicine. Who's drinking two a day?
Their diet.
I drink one pop a day. Well, how much pop can you drink?
Yeah, one a day.
Yeah, one.
What about you, Steve? How many do you drink a day?
Two to four, depending on the day.
Whoa. Right. But you're not a woman.
That's about right.
Sorry.
I've never been a woman. So. I can't have children.
So you're not going to have a stroke.
We'll come back with Lou Manfredini in a moment. 312-981-7200. Steve and Shanahan's going to ask Lou a question, and you guys can text in, too, at 312-981-7200.
It's Lou's first call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran, brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show.
Let's go to Lou. Good morning, Lou.
Good morning.
Are you trying to keep someone at Channel 9 from waking up?
I was just making sure that it was connected.
Yes.
Oh, Lou, you sound tired.
No, I get a little frog in my throat. Oh.
So yesterday, Lou on Instagram put up a Happy Valentine's Day message, but he said something like, I don't know, cheers to 20 years or whatever with MB, and I was like, oh, that's me.
Right?
But it wasn't me.
Turned out it
would be my Mary Beth.
Yeah, you're Mary Beth, not Mary Boyle. But right.
When's the anniversary?
I see.
No. It wasn't.
It was just Valentine's Day.
I just said 100%.
100%, that's what it was, to MB. And I was like, oh, Mary Boyle.
So when's your anniversary?
June 9th.
All right. Well, shoot me a text or something so I'll remember that.
Okay.
Steve's in Shanahan. Steve, you have a question for Lou.
Yes. Good morning, guys.
Hi.
Lou, I have a house that's 2 years old, and I have a sump pump in the back of the house like everybody does. And the pipe sticks out about 2 feet, and it discharges right there. So in the summertime, it's constantly going. And then, like now, in the wintertime, it's discharging, and then I form an ice sculpture from all the water that keeps on going. Mm-hmm. My question is, about 100 feet out into my yard, there's a sewer where apparently the builder could have but did not connect the pipe to it, and I could have just drained the water in there. Is that something I should do? How do I stop this from constantly happening?
That sounds like a pro question, man. This guy's got a theory. He's got it partially figured out. This is a great call for you, Lou. I like this guy.
It is, because I can picture it. I mean, I think that the very first thing you want to do is at least put some sort of extension on that pipe coming right out of the side of the house, because the issue with that pump running and just discharging the water right next to the home, you're lucky that you're not getting any water in, but it's filtering down right back down into the drain tile, and you're cycling it too much. If you were to just put a flexible extension on, even 3 feet away, if you have pitch away from the house, that would make a lot of sense. Now, as far as that drain goes that's 100 feet away, if you're going to do that, then I would probably rent, if you want to do it yourself, you can rent a trenching machine to go down even just, a foot, and then put a rigid pipe in there with a nice, even pitch all the way down to that drain that's in the yard, and then connect that to the sump pump that's connected to the house.
I like that trenching machine for the weekend. That sounds like a good time.
Can I tell you something? There's two machines that you can rent that you can't stop using. Okay. One is a pressure washer.
Yeah, that's a good time.
Once you get started, you want to just clean everything.
Yep.
And the second one is a trencher.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with the trencher is you can't just go to some neighbor's house and say, hey, can I trench your yard? You can say, hey, let me clean your sidewalk.
Well, why not? Why not a surprise trenching for the, someone in the neighborhood? You know, you just go over and go, hey, Bob.
If you want to feel like somebody, you want to, like, really pump up the testosterone, you get behind a trenching machine. Oh,
hello.
Man. I'm telling you.
Lou.
That is an afternoon right there.
Lou is sponsored by American Weather Makers. Texter says, we have a heat pump. At what temperature should we switch to emergency heaters? I like to call it, Lou, national emergency heat.
Right. Right. You know, heat pumps... People that have those hybrid systems that go from a heat pump, which is essentially your air conditioner running backwards, to regular natural gas coming in, that's something that you probably are going to switch at around 35 degrees. So when the temperature outside is below 35 degrees, some people will do it at a lower temp. I have found that when you use heat pumps to heat a home, the overall comfort level of the home isn't the same, and so I have a system like this, and it's 35 degrees, and it works out great.
And somebody says, if you hook up your sump pump to your sewer systems, does that mean you get illegal cable? I like that. I like the way they think it. You know,
well, the way that gentleman was describing the sewer, I think it was a ground sewer. It wasn't a domestic sewer.
Oh.
It was in the backyard.
Wasn't I in a band called Domestic Sewer?
I think so.
Right. American Weathermaker's prize today is what?
A desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minutemen. Call 855-955-HVAC.
And before I let you go, Lou, I'd like to start a new thing that I'll forget by next Friday.
Okay.
Here's the brand new feature that we'll never not do again until I forget it next Friday.
I'm writing it down.
What's the most fun thing I could buy at Ace Hardware this weekend? So I go into Ace Hardware, I'm planning on picking up a screwdriver, maybe a Phillips, and suddenly I stumble upon this and I go, I gotta have that.
Little Larry.
What?
Little Larry.
Lou Jack?
Yeah. The late, great Little Larry.
What is a Little Larry?
Remember the, what was that TV show with...
Inch High Private Eye?
Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith.
That Men in Black. The movie you're talking about.
Remember when they would do something and then they would point a shiny light in a guy's eye?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's that.
You can make me forget everything?
Well, you can try. I'll tell
you,
if I turn this flashlight on, you're gonna remember that your eyes hurt.
So it's an incredibly bright light.
Right. It's like a pen light like that, and it's amazing. And
it Little has Larry.
Little
Larry. How much is that going to cost me?
$14.99.
Oh, buy that today.
Little Larry.
Can you get blinded by the light?
Get that today.
Wrapped up like a douche in the rumors of the night.
Really naughty. Really wish you knew the words. Thank you.
Goodbye.
See you, mate. That's Lou. He's on the radio tomorrow at 7. We're back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
It's business time. It's business. It's business time. I don't know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time. Ooh, it's business.
We'll get to this morning's business lesson from somebody getting it done in just a second. But, Dave, I know you don't hate to see the texters when they send texts in this morning. Listen to this text that Dave just got. How handsome and utterly professional was Dave Ennett last night
right on
TV for the Blackhawks game?
That's very nice.
Handsome and utterly professional.
I didn't know my wife had this number.
Well, if your wife's name is Frank.
Well, you know, it was Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Frank Lemke. Frank, thanks for
listening.
Thank
you, Frank. That's very kind.
That's very nice.
Up until today, in this moment in time, my favorite architect was Mike Brady. Right. I'm willing to change depending on this segment. Introduce our guest.
This is the Download in Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank. And the Chicago company is changing the way we see things, literally. It's no longer acceptable to just have track lighting in restaurants and hotels. Encompass AV is taking lighting and audio and just the old ambient experience to a whole new level. Tim Pickett is in studio. He is the owner of Encompass AV. Thanks for being here, man.
Hi, guys. I'm really happy to be here.
So you are, when you talk about architect, you're an acoustic architect. What does that mean? What is that?
Okay, so let's clarify. I have a major from Columbia here, fellow alumni, in architectural acoustics, right? That was my major. That was my, you know, in college.
So. What are the differences between what Justin asked you and what that is?
Okay, so we don't have like an architectural acoustic firm. This was my major in college. This is something I studied. Room design, how to make your room sound good, how to design a room to naturally sound good without having to put a ton of baffles in it, a ton of absorption, you know.
How are you not building radio studios and recording studios? Or is that a different...
Well, that used to be what you would get out of that major, right? Is building recording studios.
Or opera halls, right? Or, you know, just any kind of theater. But any
building can be acoustically more appealing than it is.
Oh, absolutely.
Give me an example.
Okay, so home theaters, right? This mm-hmm. is a really this is a small scale example, but a home theater, people typically go down to their basement, they build a rectangle, which is one of the worst acoustic designs you could have, and they just throw drywall up, they, you know, put cheap carpeting in, or they even worse, they put tile floors, something like that, and they throw 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 speakers in it, and you have all this acoustical energy bouncing around and it sounds terrible. You know, it's not even doing what it's supposed to do. For one of our clients, we got in on the early stages of his house out in Burr Ridge, and we were able to design, you know, the foundation. Like, we, before they poured the basement, we got to pour it the way we wanted it.
Wow.
And we designed a room that had no parallel surfaces. And when you have no parallel surfaces, you know, you don't get flutter effect, you don't get modes. It's just, it's a different thing.
Well, we replaced the family room carpeting with hardwood flooring.
Right.
And the sound now seems muted to me. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It seems muted. All right, so you're probably getting some kind of cancellation. You're probably getting an amplification in certain frequencies that is...
Or I'm going deaf because I've worn headphones for 40 years.
Or you're going deaf because you wore headphones for 40 years. Yeah, that's about right. That probably has a
large... A lot of what you do is keeping up with the technology, and you have clients that are in the restaurant business, the hotel business, that
correct.
Obviously, you know, it's no longer acceptable to just dim the lights at a restaurant. You have to think about what the patterns are on the walls, where there's different... when it comes to acoustics, how the restaurants and the hotels sound, the lobby. To talk about how you approach those kind of clients and how you stay above the fray or at the cutting edge of technology.
Okay, so when we... Sound has always been close to my heart, right? That's what I went to college for. That's what I started the business. So we've really made a lot of headway in the service industry with putting really good sound systems in. When I started doing this in 1999, when Mark and I started the company over here, people were just putting cheap speakers in. People weren't thinking about acoustics at all. People were putting the cheapest amplification in. And you'd go into an environment, and either you can't hear the sound system. All you heard was, like, you know, the bass or, you know, just the tss from the treble, but no vocals, no nothing. And it was terrible. And, you know, it was loud in there. It was just, you heard your other tables talking. So we decided that we wanted to do something better. We wanted to, you know, we're a very small startup company at that point. We're still a small niche company today, but... If we're going to have an edge, we got to do something better than what everybody else is doing. So we started working with a company called Martin Audio out of London, right, that makes a really high-quality product. It's going to be a level up from your typical JBL, your Electro Voice, stuff like that. So we started putting these speakers in that really changed the quality. You know, we started really listening and EQing systems so you could hear those vocals.
But is it a tough thing to sell unless you're working with an audiophile? In other words, if I'm building a house, I'm spending money on it. Building a restaurant, I'm spending money on it. How do you convince me this is a really important part of my thought process?
Okay, so let's take, for example, one of our best clients is Gibson's, the Gibson's Restaurant Group.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Steve.
They're gonna be okay if they stick to this food thing. They're gonna be just fine.
Yeah, I think they're doing okay.
Yeah.
So Steve Lombardo, you know, we met Steve in 2008 now, and he, you know, we did Oak Brook for them. They're built out in Oak Brook, but it was so important to him because he understood, and this is what makes Gibson successful. They understand it's not just the food. It's the service.
Ambience,
it's the people. It's the environment. It's the ambience. It's the
experience.
Lighting. It's everything. It's the entire experience. And if he wasn't happy with the sound, that was a problem.
Well, that's smart.
And so, you know, people like that, well, they're setting the benchmark in the industry, mm-hmm. right? And so other people will absolutely follow. And that's like where you started to see that change, I feel, in Chicago, is where you have high-end clients like that pushing the envelope, right? And seeing how good can we get
well,
at the sound.
Part of the point of the segment is for people to understand what you do and take those lessons forward for them. So if I hear you correctly, mm-hmm. what you're saying is I've got one of my best clients now who is a very important person and impactful in their sector,
right.
who can now tell other people who would look up to them, this is something you ought to be considering.
Right, correct. So, again, he's just setting the... He's Lombardo's family is setting the benchmark and doing what is right, and they invest the money in the beginning, and obviously, you can see,
that's
you know,
cool.
it pays the record
out,
for
yeah.
success. So,
did you dig out the floor at Gibson's and re-pour it so everything isn't level? So?
Most of the work we did at Gibson's was with the actual system itself. Better okay. quality speakers, better amplifiers, and better control yeah. systems.
One of the things on your... I know you guys do a lot of things, the lighting... the sound, you do surveillance, et cetera, but structured cabling, mm-hmm. I find interesting because I think that also homes are going to In our house, there's a lack of outlets, even though there's a million outlets. Like, our lives have changed to devices and
right.
need to be connected. And so what exactly is that portion?
You're literally the only person that told me structured cabling is interesting. So oh. that's awesome.
By the way, we're not surprised.
But no, yeah, the future is what we like to call IoT, right? Internet of Things. You have all these devices now, security cameras, your cell phones, your laptops, wireless access points. Everything is living on this network, right? And we have to reinvent, not reinvent, but restructure the way we build our network so we can handle all this traffic, so we can, you know, manage it. Otherwise, if you just keep throwing all these devices on, you have problems. I'm sure your kids have come up to you and said, my HD video is not streaming right. on YouTube. It's stuttering. I'm on the third floor, you know, and your right. wireless router's in the basement. Yep, yep. You know, it's a problem. So the structured cabling, we do mostly commercial, but the structured cabling is critical to get right in order to make all of this stuff work mm-hmm. together.
We're getting tons of texts from people as you discuss this.
Mm-hmm.
Restaurants.
Yeah.
Complaint after complaint after complaint. It's what Justin brought up earlier about restaurants being too loud. So if you've got an established restaurant
right,
and you're getting these type of complaints, is it cost prohibitive once you're built to fix this?
Absolutely. It's so much cheaper to do it first of all, it's a capital expense in the beginning, right? It's part of the loan. It's easier instead of having to figure out how to fit this into your budget later. But the retrofit is much more expensive. If we have to go in and tear up drywall to put new conduit in, that's really expensive. You know, and in Chicago, everything's got to be in conduit.
So get it right early, so, and if not, put some Nerf on the walls.
Yeah.
The last question I have for you is just, you know, technology is changing, but also the importance of environmentally friendly technology is changing. We may see in a year's time that it'll be law that you right. have to have certain technology and certain environmental. How do you deal with that as a company having to navigate an eco-friendly technology?
So we're becoming a technology company. We're going from an audiovisual company to a technology company. We're getting into like PoE lighting. PoE stands for power over Ethernet. So like the lights that we have above us in the studio, the typical your 2x4 or your 2x2 LED, you know, troffers that you put in a drop ceiling, those can now be powered over a Cat6 cable or a Cat6A cable instead of having 110 volt AC going to them. So our new lighting systems that we're putting in office spaces and even some residential, they have no conduit going to them. They have no 110 volt high power going to them. They're powered the same way you'd power a security camera or a wireless access wow. point. So it creates up to a 70% savings in energy. I mean, it's an incredible over LED, not over fluorescent, over LED, it could be up to 70%. There's sensors on them, so they turn themselves off, off and on when you're not in the room.
Pretty cool.
They act independently. Cool. Yeah. They don't act as an entire yeah. zone or an entire room. It's pretty incredible.
That's great.
Great to meet you, and thanks for being here and getting up at this ridiculous hour to talk about your business.
I'm always up. Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it.
The site is EncompassAV.com.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Tim.
Have a great one.
Hope you had a nice Valentine's Day. Oh, by the way, speaking of Valentine's Day, reminds me of people close, reminds me of family, which reminds me of something I'm just pretending I forgot. Ross will be on the show. Ross Cochran will be on the show. Special appearance this morning.
At 7:40.
Yay. At 7:40.
How hard was it to book him?
Unbelievable. Yeah. It's really, really difficult. DeCastro had him booked on every one of his stations. It's ridiculous. We're coming back with the news in a second. The Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve will be next.
Why are we so blessed?
Well, we'll get to that later, Todd. First off, some predictions from the sports fans on today's game. Pat?
Bulls, 149-23.
Carl?
Bulls, 149-52.
Todd? Bulls, 402-0.
The Bulls. The Bulls.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Who can set the court on fire? Only the Bulls. Keep us burning with desire. Only the Bulls. Who can bring another title here?
Tamberg, I think your finest work on this show was when you found our next guest.
I agree.
And before we introduce him, can you explain how you found him?
I found him because I know his mom and dad very well.
I don't know his mom, but his dad's a great guy.
His dad is amazing. Yeah. And so my sister...
He's raising a roof for himself behind you.
Yeah. They used to take gymnastics from my sister. So that's how they...
His father did?
Yeah.
His floor routine, I understand, is spectacular.
Yeah, so.
And he brought
They have three lovely children, these people.
The three are?
The Gibbs family. And so we have Grace, who is not here right now.
Right. And she got a better offer.
We have Connor Gibbs, and then special guest star today, Luke Gibbs.
Yeah. I just met Luke. He's 7 years old, and I fixed his hat for him.
Yeah, he's sporting a Hawks hat.
So. Yeah, it's looking good. Connor, it is great to see you.
Good to see you, too.
NBA All-Star Weekend, and you are a resident NBA expert. Not Bulls expert, NBA expert. Mm-hmm. Why do you love hoops?
I don't know really why. I just really like the game, and it's really fun to play, and I like watching it.
And you're how old?
10.
And you're filled with hope for the Bulls?
Yeah, in a few years, I guess.
Right.
Who's the best team in the NBA right now?
Probably the Raptors or the Rockets. I think the finals will be the Raptors or the Rockets.
Really? No Golden State Warriors.
Just, or the Bucks? Yeah. Not the Bucks?
No.
What are you? He's a Bulls fan.
I'm with you on the
Bucks.
What
are you, a Greek freak? Can you explain to me how James Harden is able to play the way he plays with a giant beard? It should be impossible.
Yeah, I do not know. It's
very weird.
Yes, it is.
Have you tried to play with a beard?
No.
Well, you probably can't grow one yet. Will you grow a beard someday?
Maybe.
I don't think your mom's going to be happy about that. All right, so are you excited about All-Star Weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the Bulls have been rebuilding longer than your dad's been alive. So this is an opportunity for us to see the way the NBA should be done with the best players. So other than James Harden, who are you looking forward to seeing?
Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, he's good.
LeBron.
Who?
LeBron.
Don't know his work.
And then Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Yeah, James Harden.
Give the fans somebody that you know that they might not know. Like I mentioned a Greek freak. I suppose maybe him.
Yeah. Giannis. Yeah.
Yeah, Giannis. What's his last name?
Exactly. Antetokounmpo.
I like how he doesn't go nickname. He's like, yeah, Giannis. Like,
I'm sorry, Dave. Did you sneeze? What was his name?
Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo.
Yes, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
And he is called the Greek Freak because he's Greek and he has freakish talent.
He does have freakish talent.
There you go.
Connor, one of the great things about the NBA is watching the teams that are usually pretty bad actually have good years. Mm-hmm. And I think about the New Jersey Nets as a team that, or I guess they're the Brooklyn Nets now, that they are actually good this year.
Yeah.
I think of, as you mentioned, Dave mentioned the Milwaukee Bucks, who are I think they have the best record in basketball. But it's, so who are the teams that you usually are losers that are winning this year that we should be paying attention to?
Yeah, the Nets are doing good.
I guess the Nuggets are good this year?
Yeah,
they're better?
The Nuggets are actually pretty good. I've really never seen that.
And I do like the, you think it's going to be the Raptors and the Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should talk about a team that's not so good this year.
There's one right here.
Talk about the Bulls? Let's talk about the Bulls. Now, first off, your dad will explain this in your car on your way to school today?
School?
Your parents were going to name you Otto. So that brings this whole thing kind of full circle. You can ask him about that later. But Otto Porter Jr., what do you think of that trade?
Yeah, I think it was a pretty good trade. Otto Porter Jr., I think he has some potential and he's young, so he could be good with the rebuilding process.
So, well, we've been rebuilding for a long time, and as you know, your friend Steve here is a little impatient with the rebuild. You're telling me, suck it up, it's going to be fine.
Yeah, hopefully.
Connor, I watched the Bulls game for the first time in a while the other night, and it was the game that Otto Porter had 37 points, and they won. They beat the Memphis Grizzlies. I really liked him. He was there was a defensive play where he blocked a three-pointer in the corner. He seems to be energetic, at least, like a guy that we can maybe look for in the future.
Yeah, he played really good that game, 37 points.
Which is very impressive. What's your personal high in your basketball games that you play?
16.
16?
Oh, wow.
That's great. Did you dunk?
No.
That's coming, dude. Any minute now, it's coming. Who's the best bull that we don't pay attention to? Best bull off the bench?
Well, Ryan Arcidiacono, he usually...
Well, hold on a second. You can say Arcidiacono, but you can't say what Dave said?
What did Dave say? Giannis what?
Giannis
Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo. Okay, what's this Ryan guy's name that you're making up?
Ryan Arcidiacono. He usually is like a good six man, but now that Chris Dunn is out and they don't really know what to do with him,
fans should pay attention. Fans should watch this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he played on Villanova's championship team a couple of years ago,
yeah.
And that's where he kind of made a name. Mm-hmm. I think he was the outstanding player of the Final Four.
Is that right?
Or something, you know, so that's where people became familiar with his name.
Is that when you and Connor were on the phone with each other going, you believe this guy?
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
Connor, a lot of people are interested in if the Bulls are I guess, bad enough to get the number one pick and maybe get the kid out of Duke, Zion Williamson. Do you think, as a Bulls fan, that the Bulls should purposely lose, or should they play the best they can and win as many games as they can?
I mean, as a Bulls fan, I always want them to win, but that's right. I guess to get a good pick, they should probably lose.
Now, along with the Otto discussion, your dad's going to be talking to you about this in the car as well, because you don't want them to tank. I mean, if they lose, they lose, because frankly, they're not very good and the chances are decent, but you don't want them to tank. You want them to come out and put their best performance on every night.
Yeah.
Do you pay attention to the college players?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, saw the game Duke versus Louisville the other day.
Wow, crazy comeback.
Game. Yeah, it was insane.
They were down 1-0 at halftime, and they came back. Mm-hmm. I'm not even exaggerating. I mean, that's the thing.
Which college team do you support?
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, yeah, that's where.
How do you feel about Northwestern?
The his mom went to Wisconsin, though, so I think that's got to be... Does Wisconsin get any billing in your house?
Yeah.
Do you know any ex-athletes from Notre Dame? Or?
Oh, yeah, my dad.
That's right, your dad.
So, Connor, did you see the YouTube video of the Bulls doing magic?
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
What hilarious. Are you talking about? How'd I miss this?
You missed the link? Yeah, we. I don't know, Justin, who that magician is.
I don't know who the magician is, but it was a magician doing tricks to Bulls players. And the one that, with Wendell Carter Jr., the rookie out of Duke, is outstands a viral hit. They played it yesterday on ESPN. But it shows how the trick is done, and Wendell's just missing it. They keep they're throwing like a ball over his head.
They keep telling what the guy keeps saying to Wendell, lean in, and when he leans in, the guy throws the ball over his head, but he misses it every time.
It's kind of funny.
It's really funny to watch. Uh-huh. So.
How's school?
Pretty good.
Yeah, the grades okay this year?
Yeah.
Picked out of college yet?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where are you gonna go?
Probably Notre Dame.
Yeah, Notre Dame would be good. You going to play basketball, you think? Or?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
I can't wait to watch you play college basketball.
Yeah, it'll be great.
We'll be going crazy. Mm-hmm.
Can we just say hi to Luke here?
Luke, how you doing, buddy?
Good.
Yeah? Are you glad you're up this early?
Yeah.
Luke sounds like a hostage.
Luke, what do you think of the studio and the view? Isn't that amazing to see the sun?
Yeah, it's really fun.
Luke, who's your favorite big brother?
Connor.
Good call, buddy. Good call. All right, you want to kiss up to any teachers or anything? Or your girlfriend or your wife? You want to say hi to anybody?
Yeah, I want to say hi to my mom.
Good call.
My teacher, Miss Keurig.
Uh-huh.
My brother, my dad, and my sister. Happy Valentine's Day.
Grandparents? Aww. No grandparents?
Yeah, my grandparents, too.
Yeah, it's a good call by you. Yeah.
And what do you think? Are the Bulls going to be better in the second half than they were in the first?
Exactly. It sums it up. But see, that's why we love having you in, because you're honest.
Yeah.
You tell the truth, and you tell us where we really are. I just hope that in your lifetime, you know, you got about 150 years left, and in your lifetime, I would like the Bulls to rebuild.
Yeah.
To a point where they're competitive.
Uh-huh.
That's all. That's all we're looking for, Connor.
My last question. You know who's a free agent this summer? Derrick Rose. Should the Bulls bring Derrick Rose back to the Bulls?
I think that would actually be pretty cool, because, like, when he came to the Bulls on the Timberwolves, and he played really good. The Bulls were chanting, the fans were chanting MVP, so I think they really want him back. So
I would take that back. I would do it.
I love that.
Be fun, right?
Why not me, a
be
kid fun. From Chicago? That's the best.
You don't think he's too old?
No. Okay. Not yet.
Not yet? How old's too old, do you think?
Like 40.
Can you imagine being 40? It's unbelievable. Great to see you, buddy.
Great to see you, too.
Have a fun day at school.
Thanks.
And thank your dad and Uber driver for bringing you down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And tip him. It's the rest of it. I don't know if you need cash.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
We continue with the most valuable person on the planet. It's Drew Thompson. And you're going, well, what's so special about Drew? Well, let's find out together. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing this morning?
We're doing fine. Are you ready for tomorrow?
I'm excited.
The charity Undie Run is on this weekend. What do we need to know?
Sure. So we're a charity that benefits children with neurofibromatosis. And it's a big word, so we kind of shortened it down to just NF. But basically, it's a disease that affects children, and then tumors grow on their bodies in different places. And it's a disease that doesn't have a cure yet. So we understand their pain. We understand their suffering, what they go through day in and day out. And so in solidarity, we strip down a little bit, getting our undies. Here in Chicago, it's kind of cold. And we do about a mile fun run around Wrigley Field, coupled with about a four-hour party to kind of enjoy the festivities.
What time does this start?
It kicks off at 12. The run will take place around 2 p.m. We're partnering with Sluggers up in Wrigleyville. So they've been generous enough to support our cause, and we're hoping to have about 400 to 500 people taking part in the event.
And the temperature at 2 p.m. tomorrow will be what?
Hopefully a little bit warmer than this morning. We're looking at about 35 degrees.
Now 35 in your undies? You can deal with it?
This is my kind of run. Usually these do-gooder runs, they start at like 7 a.m., 8 a.m. type thing. But a noon with a 2 o'clock, you know, starting land is really good.
It's doable.
Yeah, that's doable.
So we'll see you there.
Yeah, absolutely. We're all going to be there. Listen, we do the show in our undies.
Perfect.
Yeah. Here's the question I have. The question I have is that before and after the celebratory, you're obviously raising money for a good cause. But afterwards, people will go to the bar at Sluggers and they'll continue the revelry. Are they going to continue in their skivvies? Is that the idea that everyone just does regular bar stuff in their underwear?
For the most part, yes. So,
for the most part.
Can't necessarily see where you go for the rest of the day, but at least for a couple hours after the run, whether it's batting cages or running around upstairs, we'll have pianos as well.
Imagine if you didn't know this was happening.
Pianos and batting cages.
Just walk in.
You're just like, you know what? I want to go to Sluggers. I'm going to get a chicken sandwich over at Sluggers. And then you walk in there like, oh.
Everybody's in their underpants.
This is what Wrigleyville's doing now.
Well, here's the thing. Tomorrow will be the first time that adults will be in their underpants in Wrigleyville.
Yeah,
it's
right.
never happened before in an organized fashion. So people can just walk up and join.
Yes, we'll have registration on site. It's $45. We actually wanted to partner with you guys and appreciate you having us on. So for any of your listeners, if they use the code 10WGN, they'll give them $10 off when they come to either register on site or go to the website.
Very nice. Well, thanks for doing this, man. It's a fun way to raise money.
Absolutely.
All right. You have a great day. Hold on. Don't go away. What are you shaking your head about?
I'm just disappointed. I'm going to be in Nebraska tomorrow. I can't go.
Why can't you run around in your underpants in Nebraska?
Solidarity.
In Nebraska?
Yeah, just do it and just tell everybody you're doing it for the run.
That's how you get arrested.
Yes,
right. So when the Nebraska Barney Fife picks you up, you can just go, hey, I'm doing this because people are in underpants in Chicago.
Thing.
I'm just trying to imagine, as you mentioned, for a couple hours after, if you get to like maybe 5 or 6 o'clock and then you're like, I got to meet my parents down at dinner in the West Loop. And you go to dinner in the underwear. You just keep it going
all day long.
Yeah, I did fun run. I like thinking of Dave. You know, I remember that Minnesota Vikings coach or whatever, like went through a drive-through in just his underwear and got in trouble. Like maybe he was coming from an underwear run. Yeah. So Dave in Nebraska,
undie run.
This man's
it's
doing
the
his
new
own
way
run.
To get out of any trouble.
Yeah,
yeah. Hey, man, doing the undie run.
It's charity.
I'm going to Mariano's on Saturday.
What are you talking about? I'm doing the undie run.
I'm undie shopping.
It's 7:30. It's the Steve Cochran Show, and we will come back in just a moment with the headlines on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show. The Steve Cochran Show.
7:41. Happy Friday, day after Valentine's Day. Standing by the phones, my family. One a former employee of this show, the other his lovely wife, and I think the world's greatest granddaughter, possibly as well. And let's find out together, shall we? Ross Cochran, are you with me?
I'm with you.
And are you happy to be here?
I'm very happy to be here.
Right.
Sorry, I missed my cue.
Let's jump over here. Lauren, are you with me?
Yeah, I'm here, and Abigail Grace is here as well.
Oh,
yeah.
Abigail, it's Pops.
Say hi to Pops. She's too busy eating her Cheerios.
Oh,
I get it.
Thought I was getting the stiff arm.
I choose food over Steve Cochran every day.
Yeah, well, most of the world does.
With milk or without?
Well, it depends, really. It depends on your mood. Did you have a nice Valentine's Day?
We did.
Yeah, we did. You know, I want to make sure Lauren answered that first. That really lets me know how good my Valentine's Day was.
You know what? Don't dig yourself a hole, my friend. And Abigail's working on her Cheerios, but we wanted all you guys to be on to be a part of this because it's pretty cool. And, well, son, take it over.
Well, Lauren should take over, Pops. Come on now.
Yeah, well.
That's what I was telling your dad off the air, Ross, just so you
know. Lauren, I'm trying. I really am.
Hey, I'll let it slide. Want me ready? Ready?
I'm ready.
So Ross and I and Abigail and I are very excited that we are going to be having a baby boy joining our family later this summer.
How great is that? Yeah. Right. Every time I hear it, it gets better. Right.
So I'm in my second trimester of pregnancy, and everything's going really well so far. And we just found out it's a little boy. And Abigail is beyond excited to be a big sister. She says she already is a big sister.
Yeah, well, she is. And the other day when Abigail and I were hanging out, I said, "What are you going to name your baby brother?" And she said, "Nah." And I said, "Why? What was it?" She was holding one of her toy horses. And Chickalinda. Is that the horse's name?
Yeah.
Very good. Hey, Lauren and Ross, is the reason why you guys did that foster kid thing is so you could test run and see if Abigail would be a good sister? So you knew.
It was purely just about test running things for our own family, not at all about caring for other people or trying to help the state.
Typical.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. We actually do plan to continue doing foster care, so both plans are still in motion. So
awesome.
And Ross is in the middle of a career change, which we'll announce here soon, but right now in the interim, he's selling discounted Girl Scout cookies that he's sneaking off the doors of other people.
Sure.
All right.
Economy, man.
Is Abigail still tied up, or does she have anything she wants to add?
She is very tied up. Do you want to say anything to Pops on the radio? No.
She waved you off?
Silence. A spoon in the mouth.
Wow. So close.
Are there any kind of weird boy family names we should know about that you might be considering?
What? Nah, it's not weird enough for you?
Besides Steve,
well,
of course.
Pretty weird. Steve's pretty weird.
Yes.
Yeah. I had an uncle named Jebediah, but you know, other than that.
You can go with Lee, Steve's middle name.
No, we're not going to go with Lee. It's not going to happen.
That's a good name.
It's my only no vote. Have you guys discussed names? I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, a little bit.
You take that one.
We, you know, we had big, super long lists for the first time before we found out that Abigail was going to be a girl. So then for the second one, we're like, oh, yeah, we got those lists somewhere, right? Yeah, let's just go look back at those.
Do you come up with the names based on something significant where you're like, this name means this in a different language, or you just like the way it sounds?
We go off of whatever name has the most Twitter followers.
Yeah. I like it.
This kid is just listen.
No. Well, it'll in all likelihood be some sort of biblical name with some sort of meaning, but in general, sort of to be determined.
Do we know what nah means? Is there a definition of that?
Needs. Abigail didn't want you to keep talking. She just wanted to have you be quiet, but she's too polite to say something.
Needs oats, needs hay. Listen, at some point, this little guy is going to be old enough to hear this and understand this. So that's what's pretty cool about it. And you've got an unbelievable mommy and daddy and an amazing big sister. And my name's Pops, by the way, in case we haven't met. And I already love you more than you could possibly know. So I can't wait. August 2nd. And by the way, all the listeners are invited.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes it doesn't happen exactly on the actual date. Yes. Yeah, so could say like July 23rd through August 10th.
I have a very busy summer. We're going to have to get this on the schedule.
Oh, man. They're getting born during the high golf season.
Yeah.
This little guy.
I love you guys. Thanks for coming on and telling us the great news.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Congratulations.
There you go.
Cool. So exciting.
Now
have you thought about
they're doing Windy City Live later.
Yeah. Have you thought about how you're going to handle, you know, Abigail Grace is the number one favorite person in your life.
Mm-hmm.
But now this guy, I'm just going to call him Lee right now. He's coming into the world. Like, how are you going to, you know, you can't dethrone Abigail.
You know, it's funny, Dave, I don't know if you went through this. And Mary, I don't know if you went through this, but you have that first child and you go, how could I have another child? How can I love somebody as much as I love this first one? And the fact is you do. It just kind of works out. It's a pretty cool system.
You'll be able to like both grandchildren?
Well, I figured the boy is going to be tied to his mom for a while. You know, he's going to really want to be around mom, need to be around mom. So I figured Ross obviously gets first dibs, but I'll be right there. Mm-hmm. I'll be right there. And to see Abigail and Ross hang out, because he's a great dad.
Yeah, he is a great dad.
She's a fabulous mom.
There's a rumor in my life that I think it's either me or my brother was going to be named Levi. So you could go with Levi.
Oh, that's biblical.
Levi.
Yeah. And so is Jebediah.
It's also hippie, and I think that was sort of more what they were going for.
Well, you remember, before I did the birth parent search and connected with my birth family, I didn't know any of this, but I always thought that I was either a Jewish or a black entertainer, or both.
Right.
And it turns out one of the names that was being considered for me was Russell.
That would be good.
Oh, yeah. Russell Cochran?
Russell.
Oh, Russell.
Well, there's a golf. There's
Ross
a golfer,
Russ.
Right? Yeah. Russ Cochran.
Russ Cochran, yeah.
Yeah.
But isn't it weird, Russell? And then Maureen and I, without knowing any of that, named Ross.
Knowing kinda that, cool. What you just told, I think a Cedric would be a good name for you.
Like Cedric
Cochran.
That's not bad. Cedric the newborn. With a little hat.
Matthew McConaughey's son is Levi. So
there you go.
Really?
Then Ross can go, all right.
Yeah, I don't like it. It was working for me, and now it's not. So there you go. That's your big news of the day for me. And
That's really big.
Number two grand squirt on the way.
So even though you have nothing to do with this, do you take, like, I'm having another grand squirt?
Oh, now I can tell everybody.
This is your thing.
I have known about this since Christmas.
Oh,
I haven't been able to tell anybody.
Boy, you're good.
I've known about it since Thanksgiving.
Which is really upsetting to me.
Very odd.
Let me tell you how observant I am. So this is really cool. Lauren had Abigail in a shirt that said only child, and then it was a cross through it, and it said big sister. But Abigail and Ross and Lauren were over for Christmas, and she's wearing a sweater. So we all gather around a tree, and we're going to open presents and stuff. And I start to walk upstairs. And the reason I was going to walk upstairs is because there's a better angle to take some pictures from upstairs. And as I'm going upstairs... So I go upstairs. Lauren goes, Steve, can you stay down here? I'm going, whoa. What are you upset about? And I'm standing on the landing, and all of a sudden, Maureen, Grandma, starts flipping out. No way. I think she's having some sort of seizure.
Sure.
And she noticed the shirt.
Mm-hmm.
It was a full minute later before I knew what was going on. Anyway, I don't know what she's screaming about. I don't know why I'm getting yelled at for going upstairs. I don't know what's going on here.
Listen, I think if it was a minute, you were pretty good.
Just Captain Observant. Abigail's going to be a big sister. There you go.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
A lot of nice texters, thank you for that, including a helpful texter, Dave, that knows I love golf and is suggesting is the name of my new grandson, Callaway Panger Mulligan.
I like that.
Yeah.
All three or just one?
Well, I think it'd be Ping Mulligan, Ping Mulligan, Ping Mulligan. I think that's the way it works.
Yeah.
So, very cool. All right, Pete Pistone. There's nobody smarter than Pete Pistone when it comes to NASCAR, and it turns out now the big picture in sports. He's doing a big Ten show. We'll talk about that in a second. But we want to talk about NASCAR because Daytona is Sunday. This is the Super Bowl for auto racing.
Yeah.
And, you know, the interesting thing is with the Masters coming up, too, there's, like, select rule changes this year. There's rule changes often and to try to make the races more interesting to those who maybe aren't finding them as interesting as they used to be. And I said, you know, Augusta plays by its own rules. So, Pete, does Daytona play by their own rules?
This is a little different week, Steve. We qualified on Sunday, so only the two guys that are on the front row were locked into the race. And it's the youngest front row in Daytona 500 history. 21-year-old William Byron is on the pole. 24-year-old Alex Bowman outside the front row.
Wow.
Last night, then, were qualifying races. Where you finished in your qualifying race is where you'll start Sunday in the Daytona 500. And Joey Logano, last year's champion, and Kevin Harvick won those two races. So, yeah, a little bit of scrambling around, and now there'll be a couple of days of practice. And the other part of this, guys, is that every race we've had this week at Daytona has been at night under the lights, and the track's a lot cooler then. Well, the race on Sunday is supposed to be 78 and sunny. That makes the racetrack completely different. They're going to slip and slide around a little bit. I think what you saw during the week, a little single file than maybe we wanted, I think that's not going to be the case on Sunday, which I think, again, will be a good thing. We're hoping for an exciting Daytona 500.
Logano, the favorite, Brad Keselowski, who would you say is the
Mario
choice?
Andretti?
Yeah, Andretti.
Hey, listen, I saw Mario about a month ago. I think he can still drive.
I
he
bet.
Looks so good. You know, Keselowski and Logano are probably 1 and 1A at this kind of racing. They've got Fords, and right now the Fords are the teams to beat, the manufacturer to beat. And they've won these races, like at Daytona and Talladega at Sister Track, a lot. So Logano winning last night, again, he's the champion, and his teammate Brad Keselowski, I think Vegas odds have them at 8-1 apiece. I think they're the favorites, but I also wouldn't rule out the guy I mentioned who won last night as well, Kevin Harvick. He's looking really strong down here. I think the Fords are going to be the guys, the teams to beat on Sunday. They seem to have it going now with horsepower and this new aerodynamic package.
Plus, you know, I like to bet the kids milk money, so who is the dark horse?
Yeah, you know, dark horse might be that kid that's starting from the pole, William Byron. That's the car that Jeff Gordon used to drive before Jeff stopped out of that car a few years ago and went to the Fox television booth. And he's been moving himself up the ladder, and every stop along the way, he's won. He's won a championship in the Xfinity Series, sort of the AA of NASCAR. And a lot of folks are looking for him as the breakout because he's got the crew chief, Chad Knaus, who used to work with Jimmy Johnson, winning 7 championships. Those two broke up. So a lot of folks think that the youth of William Byron and his talent and the experience of Chad Knaus and all he knows as a crew chief might be a winning formula. So we'll see if that turns out on Sunday.
How about Austin Dillon, last year's winner?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Austin, and he'll be the first to tell you this, you know, that happened on the last turn of the last lap, and he got a little aggressive there. He's always a good restrictor plate racer, but winning, for whatever reason, winning back-to-back Daytona 500s is a pretty tough thing to do. So I think he's got the odds stacked a little bit, but, you know, with this kind of racing, guys, I can't say that anybody can win, but there's a lot of people that can win because it's just a little bit more wide open than we get the rest of the year.
Predictions. Who do you like?
Well, I think I'm going to stick with Keselowski. This is a race that has eluded him. He talked about this the other day at Media Day in Daytona, how, you know, it took Dale Earnhardt 20 years. Dale Earnhardt won everything there was to win at Daytona except the 500 until the 20th year. This is the 17th year for Brad Keselowski, and I think he's just so good. I have a feeling that all things are going to fall his way. And not so bad for his team owner, by the way, Roger Penske, who went into the NASCAR Hall of Fame about a month ago. Pretty cool to see if the captain can be in victory lane with Brad Keselowski Sunday in Daytona.
Well, you do a great job covering it. There's nobody better than Pete Pistone. And thank God, Dave, that they didn't adopt my idea for speed bumps.
Yeah.
Because I have suggested that a few years ago, that they put in speed bumps. Yeah. You know, because I like the guys to be safe along with having a good time. And they said they'll call this.
You call them restrictor bumps.
Restrictor bumps. That's exactly right. Mic drop. Pete Pistone here on SiriusXM. Not just covering NASCAR, but Big Ten show now every afternoon, you say, right?
Yes, channel 372. You can catch us over there, and channel 90 in the morning. So should be a lot of fun. Dave, hope to see you out there at Northwestern maybe next week when I get back from Daytona. And, hey, all things are great, right? We got the tournament coming up. We got Daytona. We got spring training. I see an end in sight for this winter that we've been stuck in, guys.
Yeah, no kidding. February, kiss my butt. Thank you, Pete.
Yeah. See you guys. Thanks.
It's just a great talking to Pete. And Dave, I know you don't like him, but I've always liked Pete.
That's not true.
What? Just seeing if you're paying attention. Coming up, Stories of Matter with Steve Gazanich from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than one should. Yeah.
Well, Dean, I know you want to lead with a big story here on More on Entertainment that Ross Cochran and Lauren Cochran and Abigail Cochran are going to have a new little baby brother in the house on August 2nd. But that story was clipped when Ross called in 30 minutes ago. So I know you're scrambling right now to try to find where to go with this. So, you know, look, you can't have them all. I mean, you break stories left and right. You can't have them all, Dean. I guess that's my point.
I understand that. I realized that this morning when I'm in New York this morning, and I was in Times Square, you know, where they have like the big news stories of the day.
Yeah, was it on the
scrolling
ticker?
On the ticker, and I'm standing there trying to avoid walking in piles of frozen spit on the street, and I see Ross Cochran about to become new father, and I thought, well, it's got to be a different Ross Cochran.
Sure.
And then
there's a lot of them.
As I continued to read, it was exactly the press release that you just read a moment ago.
Yeah, that's right, because our agency put it out. So that's great. It's great. It's
we're going to have a big, a lot of people don't know, I can announce now that we're going to have a big gender reveal on the Moron Awards. You know how they have those gender reveal parties?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They tell if it's a boy or girl. That's going to be the opening number of the Moron Awards this year.
So there'll be like people dancing around in pink and blue, and then eventually there'll be more than one or the other? Or?
Eventually there will just be one color on stage, yes.
Okay. Well, we know it's a boy. But that doesn't mean we can't choreograph this.
Well, so much for the opening number on the Moron Awards. Thanks.
All right, I got a question for you. First off, you're in New York for what?
I'm here because I saw last night the final Madea movie, the final Tyler Perry presents Tyler Perry as Madea. Yeah, well, no, he says that this is it. Mm-hmm. That he doesn't want to be Medea's age playing Medea.
Yeah, okay. Donald Trump said there's a national emergency. I don't know who to believe.
Right, and Cher has retired about four times so far. So, you know, who knows what. But I'm going to be sitting down and talking with Tyler Perry in about an hour from now. So I'll get the full scoop on that.
How do you decide, because you get invited to everything. How do you decide what junkets to go to or what studios to say yes to when it comes to reviews and interviews and all that? How do you pick those?
Well, we try to cover the stars and the movies that we think people are most interested in. And, you know, despite what, you know, people say about Madea and Tyler Perry movies,
they make a bunch of money.
They're not for everyone. People seem to like them, and people, you know, seem to like to go.
Yeah.
This final Tyler Perry movie, it's about going to a funeral, and I don't want to spoil it because I'm sure, you know, most of you are going to go run to the theaters on March 1st to go see it.
Sure.
But it's very much like every other Tyler Perry movie. I mean, it's not that different. It's many of the same characters. You know, it's silly and, you know, it's you know, all that. Interestingly, Steve, it's in black and white and in Spanish. I think they're trying to
jump on
Roma's back. I think so.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. That makes total sense.
I'm going to ask him about that.
All right, so this Jussie Smollett story. Look, I nothing's changed for me, and that is I don't care how mean the internet is. I don't know if this guy's faked it. I don't know if it's real, but I just think since he was injured in an attack of some kind, that he deserves the benefit of the doubt until we figure out that it's a lie. And the assumption is out there that it's a lie is kind of ridiculous.
I'm with you 100% on that. I am perfectly happy to wait until the Chicago police are done with their investigation. And I think that's the only thing that anybody should be doing right now. But not only blogs. Yesterday, I said it's the blogs that doing it. I turn on the news here in New York, and they're saying Chicago news outlets are reporting that it was insiders on the show Empire who beat him up because he was about to be written off the show Empire. Even though that's what many news outlets here are reporting, even though Fox issued a statement saying he was not about to be written off the show, even though Chicago police said the Chicago reports, and it was WLS, it was Channel 7 that was reporting all this. That's where this all came from. Even though Chicago police specifically issued a statement saying that they have not completed the investigation and what's being reported is not true. I don't know why people have to decide this without waiting for the Chicago police's investigation.
Yeah, totally agree.
Amazing. It's amazing.
So Channel 7 is not known for making those kind of mistakes. I mean,
they have sources in the department. That's what they got.
Well, sources in the department, but what did they say in the
study? The I-team. I don't argue with the I-team.
Because you're afraid of Chuck. Did they put it in terms of, yeah, though the police say no, we know better.
The actual statement that came out on Twitter from the police referenced ABC7 saying Superintendent Eddie Johnson is letting ABC7 know that they're wildly inaccurate. So they were the ones that ran with the story that was off of sourcing in the anonymous sourcing in the Chicago, wow, Police Department, and that the police department officially came out and said that was bogus. Yeah. Now, I don't know how that all worked out, but that's how, yeah, a lot of reporting
I can't happened. Think of a modern example, though, of a major news outlet saying the police department is lying in whatever terms they put it in.
I don't know what's the advantage to anybody of, I mean, you know, maybe they have sources. I don't know what it is. If you have sources, say who the sources are, I guess. But why can't you wait until the police are, yeah, done with their investigation and report the story accurately, according to what the police, you know, they have to be first. It doesn't make any sense to me. I would say this if we said something similar.
Of course.
I would say exactly the
Call
same thing.
Call out whoever does it.
It's not against Channel 7. Just wait until the police
are
done.
Absolutely right.
How about waiting for some accuracy?
Dean, you've been around long enough, and we know as any media analysis that the name of the game now is clicks. And Jussie Smollett is a star, and this is obviously a story that when they look at their analytics, yep, is getting a lot of people clicking through because they wouldn't keep doing this if that wasn't the case.
Well, yeah, I don't think you're wrong, but, I mean, that's not journalism. Hmm. You know?
No, it's definitely not, but Justin's 100% correct. If you go on the internet, you know, a lot of the headlines simply say, report says Jussie Smollett insider job.
Right.
Well, that's enough to make you curious to see what that's about, and you click on it. That's all that's what, you know, a lot of news outlets are trying, yeah, to do.
Yeah. Katy Perry's got big news, not as big as my news about my new grandson. Bozo in the news. Well, that's pretty big news. And we've got movie reviews from Dean when we come back. He's live in New York.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 9720.
I sort of feel bad, Dean, for Carson Daly.
Why's that?
Well, he's done that show that, well, I don't even know what it's called. Is it Later with Carson Daly? Or Really Later?
Last call,
Carson Daly. It's going off the air after 17 years, and
right?
I don't know. I don't think anybody noticed.
This is like when like really old celebrities die, and you read the news that they died, and you went, they weren't dead already.
Right, right. He is the Abe Vigoda of canceled late night shows.
Right. He's like the Carol Channing of late night shows.
Boy.
That nobody knew his show was on the air at 12:30 in the morning. But yeah, after 16 years, he's still going to be on The Voice, and I think he's on the Today Show. I'm not sure, but
yeah.
I mean, he's still very gainfully.
And he's electric.
Thank goodness this news came out after he finished his 10-day no sugar, no carb challenge.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
did not know
that last week. So, because can you imagine being on a diet and getting
that'd be rough.
Yeah,
that'd be totally rough.
He related to Bill Daly, who got the endorsement from Cranes today for.
Oh, I thought Carson Daly got
Carson
endorsed.
Daly is, yeah. Oh, well, maybe. Yeah. Maybe I read wrong.
Yeah, the first paragraph was, after hosting myriad late-night talk shows, we think he's the best for Chicago.
No one saw this coming, but Carson Daly endorsed for mayor.
Right. Could win.
So I guess Katy Perry's over, Mia.
Katy Perry is finally, apparently, put her crush to you to bed. Mm-hmm. She is officially now engaged to actor Orlando Bloom. They've been dating for... quite a few years.
I told Dean to shut up. He's working.
This is shocking to me.
And the couple, this is what you do when you get engaged. You get right on Instagram. They Instagrammed Katy Perry's ruby flower-shaped engagement ring. That's kind of sweet, announcing your engagement on Valentine's Day. She's 34. He's 42.
You know what I would have done, though, if I'm her? And this has nothing to do with our previous relationship. I would have broken up with him the moment he said, let's go kayaking naked. And by naked, I mean me. And by me, I mean there's a photographer taking a picture of me naked that'll be on the internet in less than 10 minutes. That's when I would have ended it.
No way. I would have been like, oh, that just brings us closer.
Oh,
we're paddleboarding naked.
Hey, Mary.
Nobody else gets to see your oars, okay?
Hey, Mary, what do we think about this ring? I got to bring it up. I didn't see it.
Oh, I didn't see it?
Okay, check out the ring.
All right, we'll get a full ring review.
I'm a little, I'm not sure. But she's different, so this fits her, but I'm just not sure.
We'll get to the Bozo news in a second, but movie reviews, isn't it romantic?
Is that's the Rebel Wilson, Liam Hemsworth movie about a woman who is anti-Valentine's Day, anti-romance. Steve, she gets conked on the head, and suddenly she is living in every stereotype of a rom-com you could possibly think of. So this,
sounds fabulous.
This movie is a rom-com that sort of makes fun of rom-coms.
Oh.
Unfortunately, it's just not very funny. So I wound up giving it a Dean's List C. There's
what about Alita Battle Angel?
Wait, are there funny parts, Dean, though? You know, I know of
rom-coms.
Okay.
Yeah, there's I guess a few. Okay. Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's harmless, but it's... It's just okay. I mean, that's why I gave it a C.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was bad. I just didn't think it was anything special.
Okay. Alita Battle Angel?
Yeah, Alita Battle Angel is one of these, you know, sci-fi-ish kind of story with really good credentials. James Cameron, who gave us Avatar and Titanic, is the producer. Robert Rodriguez, who gave us Sin City and Desperado and so many other quirky movies, is the director of this movie. Set in the future, about a cyborg who learns that she has a mysterious past, and the story is about basically about that. This is one of these style over substance movies that it's beautiful. It's visually very, very impressive. Story's okay. I do like the credentials of the people who are making this movie. It's innovative in a way, kind of charming. Gave it a Dean's List B-.
And happy death day to you.
Yeah, this is the Valentine's weekend pick. Happy Death Day to You, the sequel to Happy Death Day, about a woman who she gets killed, but something is askew in the universe where she keeps dying over and over and over again. She can't just either live or die. She keeps dying over and over
and over. Groundhog Day from hell.
It is a Groundhog's Day from hell, and so is the movie. It's really, I mean, maybe some people, it's like one of these horror movies that really is not that scary. It's more of a comedy horror movie. I didn't think it was funny. I didn't think it was scary. I thought it was really awful, and I gave it a Dean's List D-.
Did I tell you what Abigail wants to name her little brother?
No.
Nah.
Wow.
I don't even know how you spell that. Nah. What do you want to name your little brother? Nah. So,
that'll go over big on the playground.
Big news Sunday. Bozo's back.
Bozo is back. Our big 2-hour primetime special, Bozo Circus, the 1960s. Digitally remastered footage of the show you grew up with in Chicago, Bozo Circus. We're looking forward to bringing that to you on TV Sunday morning on my radio show. I'm going to be talking to the kids of the stars of that Bozo show, Bob Bell's kids, Don Sandberg's kids, what it was like growing up having these legendary Chicago stars be your dads. And also on Sunday morning, Steve, this the woman that we found who was the postcard lady, as known.
Yeah, yeah.
The seven-year-old who sent a postcard and it got lost in the mail for 40 years. We're going to have Sonali is her name. We're going to have her on Sunday morning to tell this whole story because you haven't heard it 100 times already.
That's awesome.
Excellent. That's Sunday morning. And, of course, Dean will be back with us on Monday for another action-packed edition of Moron Entertainment. Good luck dancing over that frozen spit in the streets of New York today.
It's a lovely treat anytime you come here.
So there you go, buddy. Thank you. Back with the headlines next, 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I hope if you love theater. You know what, Dave? You know this. You've seen Hamilton. Even if you don't love theater, I hope you go see Hamilton.
Seen it twice.
I've only seen it once. I would see it again and again and again, and that's not just a plug for free tickets, because I've never been happier to pay for it, because it was worth every penny.
It's great.
Yeah. And I took like 37 people.
I know you did.
So, joining us now on the phone to talk about Hamilton, the extravaganza, the exhibit, the exhibition, is producer Jeffrey Sellers. Let me get to Jeffrey here. Jeffrey, are you with me?
Good morning, Steve, and I need to thank you right off the top for bringing 37 of your best friends and relatives to see Hamilton and help put my children through high school.
Well, that's the thing. It's not cheap, Jeffrey, and I was thinking specifically of you. It's such an amazing show, and this makes total sense. Tell everybody what you're bringing to Navy Pier.
Well, we here at Hamilton thought the show is not enough. And with the idea that we can continue to entertain and illuminate and inspire folks, not to mention educate, we created Hamilton the Exhibition, which is going to take its visitors on a journey from the trading post in St. Croix, where Alexander worked as a 16-year-old, all the way through New York City, into George Washington's war tent, and wind up, of course, in Weehawken, New Jersey, where he meets his tragic end in the duel with Aaron Burr.
Now, no bullets will be fired in the exhibition, right?
No bullets will be fired, and no actors will be featured. The actors get to do all their work on the stage of the theater. This is a museum exhibition, but it's 360 degrees, so you're really encapsulated into those different environments. I wanted to answer some questions like, how did we actually win the Battle of Yorktown?
Right.
How do you win a battle in a Revolutionary War? And we're going to show you when you come and stand around what I call our giant risk board, and we show you all the moving pieces.
It's like my eighth grade teacher. Jeffrey, I have to say, it's amazing because the story of Hamilton was obviously a big part of American history. This play, this musical has made it part of mainstream pop culture history. This exhibit, there has to be so much interest in it because people are just so excited about what you put on stage.
I think that this exhibit is a great moment for us to celebrate why our country is so special and why our democracy is so powerful and so integral to our lives. And but more important, I hope to just blow people's minds with how cool all the individual rooms are, how we unpack the election of 1800, how we show you the beautiful home in which Hamilton visited in New Jersey, where he met his soon-to-be wife, Eliza.
Is there an age component to this where you think some kids won't get it, some older folks might not get it, or is this for everybody?
Yeah, I think it's really for everybody. You know, I don't know if I bring a 4 or 5-year-old, but once a kid is in about the 4th grade, I think they're going to get so much out of it. And to your point, relative to a big Broadway show, it's cheap because, you know, a kid gets in for, I think, about, I don't know, $25 and an adult for $39. So it's an amazing price for an exhibit that takes you through, you know, you could do it in an hour, you could do it in 2 hours, depending on how much time you want to spend. And what's great is that in your ear will be Lin-Manuel Miranda, who's the audio guide.
Wow. He's not only the audio guide, he will actually occasionally just walk around with you and tell you stuff. Hey, that's Lin-Manuel Miranda. That's crazy.
I kid you not.
But Jeffrey, I just wonder, this has to be the future of telling history or explaining history, this idea that what you did for the musical is similar to what you have to do for exhibits in museums. You really have to, to make it an experience and make it more showbiz.
Let's be crass for a second. It's multi-revenue streams. I mean, this is fantastic.
Well, and if you're craving more, because that's, you know,
you want an extra experience.
Even if you've seen it 5 times, you need something additional.
Totally agree.
Well, you know, it's amazing. People are going to have such a great time when they go out to Northerly Island right next to the planetarium. We'll have the cafe tables outside in the warm weather. So a person can get the panini, get the coffee, spend a couple hours in the exhibit with Lin-Manuel Miranda as your friend standing next to you practically, and both be entertained and learn more and dig deeper into American history, our revolution.
By the way, I'm glad you corrected me. I said Navy Pier. It is Northerly Island in a building specific to the exhibit, right?
Yeah, it's a building that we made that came from Europe and that we're putting together as we sit there. The guys are putting up the trusses right now on Northerly Island. And it's about the size of a football field.
Very cool.
I mean, the busts of the president are like twice the size of you, Steve. They're huge.
Well, you know, I don't know this. Alexander Hamilton was a little dude. So let's give him some size.
You know, I feel like we need, like, busts of Steve, Justin, and Mary.
How about that? Right?
Steve's got a very large head, so I'm not sure about what the
My head would be spectacular in the middle of this. Jeffrey Seller, a tremendous talent, and really, I don't know if you know this, Jeffrey, you're a legend. American theatrical producer, and Hamilton doesn't come here without Jeffrey, so thank you for that. And congrats on this exhibit. We look forward to being a part of it.
I love Chicago, and I can't wait to be with you guys when we open in April.
Excellent. Good to see you. Good to talk to you. It's Jeffrey Seller. All right, let's do this. We're going to come back. Congressman Raja
Krishnamoorthy.
Bless you. We'll be on the show in just a couple of moments. And we'll ask him about the Green New Deal, but I'll ask him about something that I think you ought to prepare. We're 11 minutes away from a national emergency. By the way, Dave, I don't know if you know this. You know what the definition of an emergency is?
No, what's that, Steve?
This is from dictionary.com. A serious, unexpected, and dangerous situation requiring immediate action. I think I said the word unexpected there, didn't I? So I don't know how you could say we're planning a national emergency, but that's what's coming up.
You know, one morning I was sitting in the studio about this time with Spike Odell back in the Tribune Tower, and up on our LED readout, it said a national emergency has been declared.
An actual national emergency.
Take cover.
That was 9/11.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
It is 8:52. Once I had a Carolyn. Carolyn's a world famous Caroline. Sorry, world famous mom of Rory. This is one of the cutest kids on the planet. Who Sandberg, you've shown me several videos of. But Caroline's got a busy morning, and wishing you well. And thanks for having Rory.
She's a kindergarten teacher with a day off, going to the doctor. So
not so much fun, but pulling for you. Yeah. All right, Raja, Congressman Raja's on the phone. And the reason I'm being so casual with the congressman is not because we hang out or anything. it's simply because I pulled a muscle in my tongue the last time I tried to pronounce his last name. Raja, how are you?
Hey, man. Hi, Steve, Justin, and Mary. How are you guys doing?
Hi, Congressman.
Good. Nice to have you on. In 7 minutes, apparently we're going to have a national emergency, but up until then, we can talk about a couple of other things. Where are you on the Green New Deal, and what are you going to do about it from your perspective?
Yeah, I think it's a bold proposal. It sets a specific goal with regard to, moving to renewable energies. However, I think my constituents ask two questions. One is, who's going to pay for it, and what are all the details? We see a resolution here. It's not actually a bill or concrete piece of legislation. So I think people are watching and waiting at this point, including myself.
When you talk to your constituents, Congressman, do you tell them that? Do you say, hey, this is aspirational, this is just really getting everybody on the same page, and we're going to work out the details later?
Well, what I say is, it's an icebreaker for talking about climate change at this point. Of course, we have to prevent the ice from melting due to global warming. But I think that, we have an impending climate change crisis on our hands, and this, among other proposals, is really important to getting our arms around it. I started something called a bipartisan solar caucus in Congress with Republicans who actually believe in adopting renewable energy technologies. I myself, came from a small business where we did R&D work in solar. I know that there's support for that on the other side, so I want to see concrete action toward that end, because we can't avoid dealing with the climate change crisis.
Because of the heat behind the Green New Deal, from a political standpoint, do you need to get behind supporting it now to move your own particular agenda forward? Because here's what we know. All of the Green New Deal is not going to move forward. You want the good stuff to move forward like you would with any bill, regardless of party. But politically, do you and your colleagues need to attach yourselves to some portion of it to get your own work done?
Maybe. I don't feel that heat, so to speak, at this point. I think that I've kind of taken a leadership issue on this particular
matter of climate change in Congress. And so I think that my constituents know that I'm trying to push toward a solution. Eventually, if this resolution, this Green New Deal resolution, becomes legislation, then and there are parts that are good, absolutely, we should try to embrace those and move on those.
Congressman, the criticism of the idea is that it's socialism. We were talking about it yesterday, that people say that the government's going to be removing choice and making choices for the American people, and everything is going to be part of a government mandate. Do you see it that way? Do you see that this is a move towards a more socialist agenda?
I don't see it completely that way, and here's why. You know, for instance, if you look at the part of the Green New Deal resolution that talks about investing in infrastructure, you know, the American government has invested in trillions and trillions of dollars of infrastructure and indeed owns it. But I don't think that's considered a socialistic concept. It's just the idea that certain items should be owned by the public, and that includes certain critical infrastructure. And unless that happens, we won't be able to upgrade to a smart grid or upgrade to the type of infrastructure we need to deal with the climate change crisis.
All right, why don't we get into board? Obviously, in a couple minutes, the president's going to talk about a national emergency when it comes to border security.
Do you have your water? Do you have your duct tape?
Where are you on this? Where is the Democrats in the House? Because there's a couple of choices in which direction to go. But for you, how do you view what's going to happen in the next couple minutes?
There's no national emergency right now, Steve. The emergency here is that the president made a promise, a campaign promise. He can't fulfill it, so his political emergency has become what he's calling a national emergency. Democrats, as well as a lot of Republicans, are going to oppose this move.
And how do you do it? How do you actually, on behalf of people that want to make sure the money is spent appropriately? Because look, we all know this. Our immigration system does need to be fixed, but not under some false premise that's going to cost billions of dollars.
This is how we're going to do it, okay? There are two remedies here. One is there's something called the National Emergencies Act. Mm-hmm. That is what the president is likely going to use to declare a national emergency today. That act was actually passed with the idea that, you know, maybe we would be in a state of war, or there'd be some national calamity, natural disaster, where the president would have to take power, take actions expeditiously because Congress couldn't convene and deliberate and appropriate certain monies to him in short order. That is not the situation here. In fact, last night, by huge majorities in the House and the Senate, we passed an appropriations bill to keep the government open, including the Department of Homeland Security and including departments charged with maintaining the border and increasing border security. And he's going to sign that today. And so he's basically sidestepping what the Constitution envisioned for basically how money should be spent or how it should be decided to be spent, and usurping constitutional authority and an unconstitutional power grab.
So last question separate from this, because we're going to monitor what the president says as well here in just a couple of seconds. Yesterday, the Amazon deal went away from New York. And I'm not wild about the way it went away. I think 25,000 jobs is important. I also think it's ridiculous for businesses to be able to sidestep normal transparency when it comes to the public knowing what they're paying for. Having said all that, if they said now we want to find a place in the 8th district to bring Amazon, would you be willing to hear them out?
Absolutely, 100%. We are a great place to locate new companies. We have some of the best and most talented workers in the country, and I absolutely would welcome a discussion of locating HQ2 here, and I'm ready, willing, and able to have that conversation.
All right, we're told the president will now be at least 30 minutes delayed. Mm. 30 minutes does not mean traffic. 30 minutes means what's he up to now? Raja,
it's quite an emergency.
Apparently the emergency hasn't kicked in. It's Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy. We appreciate it, and my best to you, and keep up the work you're doing in the 8th.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. There you go. Sir. He served me.
So here's the, I think it's interesting, we're going to get to the news, but the course of action could be to do legislation that says, okay, the act of emergency is over, but the president has the right to veto that. And if he vetoes that, then you have to override it. And I'm not sure that there are majorities in the House, maybe in the House, but not in the Senate.
I don't know.
So that's where this
is ugly enough.
And the other option would be to sue the president, which would be somewhat unprecedented.
Well, he may be in the middle of this right now where he is being told, we're up S Creek here, and you got to rethink what you're doing.
The Department of Justice has actually told the White House that this is likely going to be stopped in court, probably temporarily and maybe even permanently.
Yeah, so maybe he doesn't make that announcement as we think it's going to be, but it's at least 30 minutes, we're being told, Steve. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's correct.
All right, coming up, Stories That Matter. Steve has more in a moment from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio,
this is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
From Arizona, just outside Cubs camp. Are you outside Cubs camp? Are you outside the locker room? Where are you?
It's right outside the Under Armour Performance Center, which is where they work out. The clubhouse is at, and the fields are behind it. And Sloan Park's a few hundred yards to the east of it.
So if you were David Kaplan, he would have gotten swag for that mention. You're just doing it because geographically that's actually where you are.
That's exactly right. I'm right outside. I'm staring at the front door that says Under Armour Performance Center. Sure, so I just wanted to clarify that's where I'm at. Yeah.
Kevin Powell, our baseball guru.
What's the rain situation there, Kev?
It's good right now. The sun's out. Yeah, yesterday was a little rainy and cloudy, but I can't complain. Right now, the sun's poking out. A little bit of cloud coverage, but it's going to be a nice day here in the desert.
So. Temperature?
Temperature right now in the mid-50s. We'll probably get to low 60s, mid-60s today.
What about yours? What is your temperature currently?
I don't have the exact temperature, Steve.
Probably 98.6.
There's something
98.6, yeah. So I'm a happy man, so it's probably perfect right now.
All right. Now, yesterday, day before, Sandberg and Pete went and pitched at the White Sox media wrangle, whatever that thing was.
The fastest pitch at guaranteed rate
and,
to win a trip to spring training.
And Sandberg threw a 48-mile-an-hour heater. Is there any talk about her with the Cubs as far as a recruit goes?
I haven't heard anything here. I was surprised to see Rick Hahn at Camelback Ranch and not at Sox Park scouting the talent that is Mary Sandberg, because you know he could have had a golden arm there for his staff. But no talk yet much about the 48, by the way, is very impressive for Mary.
Yeah, it is.
Very good.
And if you see Rick Hahn, tell him I said hi.
The nice is I've got a fresh arm. I don't have a lot of pitches under my belt.
Yeah,
so
a lot of innings left on that arm.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah, but she's still wearing the ice bag, the shoulder ice bag thing. Triple taped to her shoulder. It doesn't look great with the outfit, I'm going to be honest with you.
Right. You got to do it if you want to be a pro.
Let's talk baseball. I'm surprised. I was surprised to see this morning that projections have the Cubs at the bottom of the Central.
What?
And I don't understand.
Wait.
No, there was one projection that had early on said the Cubs, this is going to be a much more, I mean, the Brewers were, a huge team.
But
the Cardinals
place?
Got Goldschmidt. The Reds have retooled. There is a lot of competition in the Central, but I still think even Chicago is sleeping on the Cubs.
No, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, those are the PECOTA projections, which stand some acronym for some crazy algorithm that Baseball Prospectus puts out every year. And, people are always up in arms if the record isn't what they want to see. And they're always up in arms if it's eye-opening. If it's like, wow, my team's going to win that many games? Okay. And then you're all in on the projection. But if it's bad, of course, you ignore it. But the Cubs completely ignored it. They were projected to go, 82-80 or 80-2? I mean, that's just insane. I think, considering where they were last year, what they won 95 games, and they had Chris Bryant for basically like half the year, they had Yu Darvish for basically missed the entire season. They had so many guys underperforming. I don't know where those projections come from. I don't see that happening. I think the Cubs will be right in the thick of things. I think they have a ton of talent here. The biggest thing for me is the bounce back for some of these guys. Will Chris Bryant bounce back? Will he stay healthy? Will Yu Darvish bounce back? And will he stay healthy? Those are the biggest question marks. And where's Brandon Morey, your closer? Because the Cubs really didn't do a whole lot in the offseason, because I think, you know, Theo Epstein's thinking was, we have plenty of if you look at the Cubs roster, it's still one of the best in all of baseball. Yeah. So, you know, where they are with the salary cap, there wasn't really a reason to go crazy spending. It was more of challenge your guys and tell them, you're better than this, bounce back, and let's get right back in the playoffs.
And Dave, if they finished last, there had to be a series of debilitating injuries drunken decisions made by management. Well, that's the only explanation.
Well, I remember in 1985, Steve, not to go back too far, but back when you were a youth.
I was just a child.
They were coming off first appearance in the playoffs since the World Series of 1945.
Yeah.
And they were projected to win in 85. And by June, I think their entire starting rotation was on what was then known as the disabled list, right. Now the injured list. So, I mean, it would take something really catastrophic like that. Look, this division is going to be very tough. It was tough last year, but now you've had the Cardinals make a major step towards reclaiming the Central. And look, here's the other thing, Kev. There's pressure now on the Brewers, too. I mean, it's one that last year was a big breakthrough year for them, and they won that tiebreaker against the Cubs. And
the Bucks
claimed
are having
the
a great
Central.
Season. They got a lot of pressure.
Pittsburgh's going to be better. So.
No, I'm talking about the Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh, the Bucks, yeah. They, you know, and Giannis Antetokounmpo is not going to be playing for the Brewers,
what?
As far as we know.
No, I didn't know
as
that.
Good as
Although
he is.
He could make for a great center fielder. I agree, Dave. I think this is going to be one of the better divisions. Don't sleep on the Reds either. They got tweaked this year. They made a couple moves. And saw, the Reds played the Cubs. I know they didn't have a good record, but they played the Cubs tough all season last year. Yeah, I think it's going to be a really tough division. It's a good point about the Brewers. I mean, they were sort of under the radar for the past couple of years, but now the bullseye is on them. Mm-hmm. And look, it took everything for the Brewers to win the division. I mean, everything. They had to have everything go their way into the final weekend, and it did. So there's a lot of pressure on them, I agree, and the Cardinals are going to get a lot better as well with Goldschmidt. But, like, the Cubs have such a talented roster. I think it's going to be a really fun race in the Central, but you can't just discount the Cubs.
No.
There's just so much talent here.
I got to say, Kev, the starting rotation, or at least projected for the Chicago Cubs, best in the bigs?
Ooh, Nationals probably has something to say about that. I mean, if it stays healthy and everybody performs the way they can, it's got to be right there at the top. No
Lester,
question.
Darvish, then you got
Hamels, Hendricks.
Hendricks and Quintana. That is a
and Quintana. Think and you've got your Mike Montgomery as sort of your sixth man swingman.
So
yes.
Well, Darvish though, Darvish has got to actually become a major league pitcher this year. So what do we know about Darvish?
Darvish was a Cy Young guy, wasn't he?
Darvish
so
says,
Cy Young.
Yeah, Darvish admitted earlier in the week that, yes, that six-year, $126 million contract did put a ton of pressure on him, and it affected him last season.
Well, now, it didn't injure him, so is he healthy enough to play?
Right now he says he feels good, feels 100%. He's been here for past week or two, and all signs pointing that, yes, Yu Darvish is fully 100% healthy right now.
Are there any knuckle-walking guys in suits around there mentioning the marquee network? Because they're Sinclair guys. Be careful with those. Don't get too close to them.
Yeah, I know. I'm avoiding the suits. I don't want to get too close to them. But I'm assuming the guys drinking scotch and smoking cigars are probably a part of that group. So it'll be easy to identify them.
Scotch and cheap
cigars.
We
all know Darvish's problem was that Dave Enna didn't let him put a fence up in Evanston. That's
I had nothing to do with that decision, but you know, whatever. Those you have to abide by those rules.
You're
hey,
Batman.
Speaking of Evanston, you know who's in town this weekend, right?
No,
your Northwestern Wildcat baseball squad.
Oh yeah, they're opening the season.
They're playing at Sloan Park today and tomorrow, and then they'll be in Tempe on Sunday. So,
are they good?
Watch some Cats baseball, Dave. I'll report back to you.
Yeah, let me know how they look. They should be okay. Yeah. Quick question, Kev, about the White Sox, because you reported this morning on the brainwaves of Lucas Giolito and how that's going to make him a better pitcher this year. Can you explain that?
No, we can't.
Yeah. No, I can't. It's called neurofeedback, and basically Lucas Giolito says he was recommended it by a friend of his, and it's 20 sessions where a bunch of really smart doctors study your brainwaves, and then from there, they basically, Lucas Giolito admitted that he had mental roadblocks that he hit last season. And if you remember, he would cruise through three innings, and the next thing you know, he would give up five runs in an inning. He wants to avoid that. Remember, Lucas Giolito at one point was the top pitching prospect in all of baseball just a few years ago. This is a guy with a ton of talent as well. So he just wants to do whatever it takes. I can't really give you the all ins and outs of how neurofeedback works other than the fact... No, I can't. No. Other than the fact that they're studying brainwaves, he's figuring out... he's using the technology he has to try and help him get through some of these mental roadblocks.
I don't know that I've ever been more disappointed in you. You can't tell us about neurofeedback.
Is there a the White Sox, of course, waiting? We're all waiting on Manny Machado to see what he does. Let's pretend it's a fantasy land and that they don't get Manny Machado. Who plays third base? Who plays right? I mean, there's a lot of for a team that two months ago everyone was saying this could be a competitive team. There's still a lot of holes to fill on the starting lineup.
Two words: Bill Melton.
Third base. Bill Melton. That's a good question. So, you know, here's the thing. With Harper and Machado, I know everybody's focusing on them, but there are dozens and dozens of free agents waiting for those two guys to sign because they're going to set the marketplace. So Rick Hahn said this yesterday. He goes, look, I mean, he's basically admitted, yes, we are all in on – we'd be disappointed if we didn't get one of these guys, probably mostly Machado. It feels like that's the guy they're most all in on. But if they don't, there's still a lot of guys out there. Marwin Gonzalez hasn't signed yet. There's some some pitchers who haven't signed yet. So there's a lot of guys who haven't signed. I did find it interesting. A lot of people were having fun with this on social media, but it's kind of hard to ignore the fact that the only empty locker in the entire Sox clubhouse is the one next to John Jay and Yonder Alonso.
Wow.
Manny Machado's two best friends. That was the first thing I noticed when I walked into the clubhouse the other day. John Jay joked it off. Most people joked it off on Twitter, but it's like, come on, there wasn't even anything in the locker. It was completely empty.
Ready to move in.
He's ready to go. I mean, that's the Miami corner there. It's Alonzo J and then a big old empty locker just waiting to be filled by Machado.
That's it. That's all you need. All right, keep running up the expense account, and we'll check back in with you next week before you come home.
All right, guys. Thanks. Talk to you soon.
Kevin Powell, baseball guru. It's a 30-minute delay for President Trump to speak about this national emergency we were guaranteed he would be declaring. I'm not convinced it's a slam dunk anymore. They may be rewriting the speech as we speak. We will monitor it. WGN News all over it, of course. And Steve has the headlines next.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Dropped your eyes the size and said, I'm sorry. 5 days since I laughed at you and said, you just did just what I thought you wanted.
A special mayoral edition.
Yeah.
Of the Week in Review. Before we do that, Steve, let's see if the president's saying anything
in the
newsworthy.
First summit, a lot was done in the first summit. No more rockets going up, no more missiles going up. No more testing of nuclear.
Okay, he just finished with China. He's talking about the next North Korea summit. Not a word yet about the national emergency.
And we got back our hostages. But we hope we're going to be very much equally as successful. I'm in no rush for speed. We just don't want testing. The sanctions, as you know, remain. Everything is remaining. China's been helping us. And Russia's been helping us. And South Korea, I think you can say, has been, we've been working very closely with South Korea.
At this rate, Steve, I believe he will get to the national emergency just after noon.
Something like that.
Is this a normal press conference?
No, because here's the thing. If there was an actual national emergency, wouldn't the President of the United States, A, come out on time, or B, lead with it? What he does
just do that and get off. But the idea that he's doing like an
off-the-cuff
State of the
Union. He's doing his how great am I thing.
Oh, man.
All right, let's move on. What have you selected for us?
Steve Grzanich, how are you, buddy?
Good morning, everybody. We decided this would be the mayoral candidate edition of TGIF because we want to just, you know, make sure.
How well do you know your mayoral candidate?
Right, so by voice. Can you detect them by voice? Do you know their names just by listening to 10 seconds of them?
At this point, you better, right?
312-981-7200. They all have made their way through here. They're on almost every newscast you do in one form or another. Who's going to drop out first? You got any inside information?
I don't have any inside information. I could place a bet or two, but I just...
I don't think they're only a week and a half away. Yeah, no one's going to drop it.
You don't think?
Yeah.
What's the point at this point? Just don't... campaign anymore if you're not going to
spend any money.
It's going to be whittled down to two after next week, right? So that's going to be the end of it.
Well, 312-981-7200. Get on the line, and if you guess correctly, we will give you a prize. I don't know what
we got. Pat and Darian and Ralph on the south side both standing by. I think Pat was first.
Let's go with Pat.
Let's go to Pat here on the phone.
Pat!
Hey, how are you?
Good morning, Pat. Are you paying attention to this mayor's race?
Yeah, there's quite a few people in there already. How many we got? Like 57.
57 people.
How many we got? Also a Chicago Accent Challenge contender here.
Yeah, I like it. All right, Pat. Let's hear a first candidate and see if you can pick them out by voice. You ready?
Yeah.
We're not focused on talking about one person seeking office. We are lifting up the voices of many of the people who are in this room who've been pushing on these issues for years, and they see our campaign as the way forward.
That's Rahm, obviously.
It is. Pat, doing his best.
All right, Pat, that's not Rahm. Who is it?
Well, it's got to be one of the female candidates.
Good, Pat. Good, Pat. Very good.
We're on a roll.
Well, let's see. Is that Amara?
Yes! That's awesome!
That's very impressive.
Yeah, you got it, Pat.
That's Amara very impressive.
You'll get extra points if you can pronounce her last name.
So can I award him a gift?
Enya.
Very good. Pat, I thought you were totally going to blow that.
All right, Pat, you're going to get a Lou Malnati's gift certificate.
Very impressive. Wow.
All right.
Way to go.
Thanks, Pat.
Way to go, Pat.
Let's go to Ralph on the south side. Hi, Ralph.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Say hi to Steve Grzanich, America's Newsman.
Hey, Steve, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, man, good morning, Ralph.
Ralph, do you have a candidate that you are supporting?
Yeah, I'm going with the Dailies.
Okay. All of them or just Bill?
Well, he's a very bright guy. I hope, you know, there's so many people in it, it's almost ridiculous, but I hope that the public gets together and does something positive. Let me just say one thing, guys. I'm a regular listener.
Thank you.
Take it easy on the Trumpster. He's doing a lot of good things. Give him credit for the good that he's doing. Our economy is the best it's been in 10 years. So let's concentrate on the positive.
I appreciate that. I'll take it under advisement. But right now, we're going to need a guest from you. Go. Stand by.
Ralph, you ready? Here we go.
All right. I also want to impose a 1% tax on million-dollar home sales. Why? Look, I mean, those of us that are making a lot of money can afford to pay some money to help out the city. In this case, a large proportion of that money would go to deal with the homelessness problem we have in this city.
Yeah, is that Jane Byrne?
You know what?
Steve, is that Jane Byrne?
It is not Jane Byrne. The ghost of Jane Byrne, it is.
Don't
not.
Give it away because we lost Ralph here. I think he just wanted to tell us to give Trumpster a chance.
And then he hung up. Oh. He didn't even guess.
Well, then he does not win.
He does not. Can we give another bonus prize to Pat?
312-981-7200 if you want to play. Maybe we'll take a break and come back.
Yeah, maybe he got disconnected. Maybe he'll call back.
All right, let's do that. Quick break. We'll be right back on 720 WGN. All right, if Ralph calls back, we will give him a prize.
Shouldn't give him anything. He dropped, right?
Well, I mean, it's Trump bobblehead. We'll
he's got to get the answer. Don't give away the answer, but we'll pull that quote.
So don't tell him it's Gary Chico?
Ah.
All right, you ready for the next one? Yeah, let's go here. This is Bob in Inverness.
Bob.
Hello.
Bob, you're in Inverness, but do you have a candidate you'd like to see be mayor of Chicago?
I'd like to see Gary McCarthy. Hey, Law and Order guy.
There you go.
Law and Order.
All right, play it for him. What do you got?
What do we got?
Here we go.
I'm very proud of my father, the life he lived, what he tried to do not only in his professional life, but in his personal life. He was born 116 years ago, died over 40 years ago. He was a good person who was motivated to try to do good in this city. And I think maybe we ought to let him rest.
He is not talking about Abraham Lincoln.
That's not Abraham Lincoln?
No, not Abraham
Lincoln. Who was that?
I'm guessing that's Bill Daley.
That is correct.
Ding, ding, ding. Karen's in Lockport.
Whoa, I'm going to give Bob
we don't have time for you to do this one at a time.
Apt gift card.
Apt gift card. There you go. Karen. Nice.
Karen, you're in Lockport. Who you like?
Oh, I've got a few.
Well, give me one. Give me your top one.
Who would you vote for? If you were living in Chicago, who would you vote for?
Probably Preck would go right now.
All right. We're getting a wide range here.
I like it. See, that's it. It's going to be a great result. All right, Karen, you ready to guess the mayoral candidate by voice?
If I get an easy one like Bob did.
Okay, let's see what you get.
I know, right?
Roll it.
And the magnets and the selective enrollments, which for many parents and students has turned out to be a great thing, but it has been too often at the expense of neighborhood schools. And you see Roosevelt, what a beautiful place this is.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
It's a tough one.
Who is that, Karen?
Is that the guy that plays football?
Alice?
Wrong-o.
No, it's not. Nope. Sorry, Karen.
Paul Vallis?
Yeah, it's not Paul Vallis.
No, the second time, though, is a more
let's try Kim.
Direct. But thank you. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it.
This is a tough one. I think I know who it is, but I even am flummoxed.
You guys thought I was going to go easy today, didn't you?
All right, Kim, do you know who that was?
Nope.
Okay.
I think Bob Fioretti.
That's a good guess,
it's
but
not Bob Fioretti.
No.
No.
Kim, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. The answer is?
Jerry Joyce Jr.
Jerry Joyce Jr.
That was my guess. Yeah.
You were messing around.
It's funny. The listeners should know that when we've discussed this game behind the scenes, I think that they should be easier and Justin fights for it more difficult.
Yes. I love the Jerry Joyce. I didn't like the daily one.
When you're deciding who you like on the show, I'm pushing for easier questions.
Right, and I bet everybody thought I was going to come in today with Willie Wilson and Tony Preckwinkle and some of the other.
I love this game. I love this game.
Is it hard to identify Willie Wilson? I mean, it is for me.
He's a very distinct...
No, I think it's very... He has a very distinct way of talking, yeah.
He wants to be mayor.
Right.
I think with Willie Wilson, it would be more like, what is Willie talking about? That would be the what we'd have to ask the question.
Well, we wanted to play the Willie translation game, sponsored by Rosetta Stone, but that deal has not been finalized yet. So, again, who the Apt and Lou Malnati's?
Lou Malnati's, yeah.
Save the rest so we could do this again, because the election day is coming up here, but I think we should do a longer version on Friday, because you could do all Jerry Joyce, and every time people be like, who is that?
Who's that?
Jerry Joyce called. You didn't know it was him.
Right. Well, thanks, everybody, for calling.
For coming up with Bob Fioretti.
It's not bad at all. What's coming up in just a few minutes in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom? It's none of your business. But Steve will be there, and we'll find out together right after this.
Try to decipher exactly what Trump weighs, because he does not weigh 239 pounds.
Something in your bedroom closet besides clothes.
How about clothes you've gotten too fat for?
There's a big difference between muscle weight and fat weight.
The fingers you have used to dial are too fat. To obtain a special dialing wand, please mash the keypad with your palm now.
Probably hiding a six-pack behind the KFC belly.
He's hiding a keg.
That guy in little gold.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Speaking of mayors. You know I'm all about that bass. Yeah. Speaking of mayors, where a second ago, I sat down with Mayor Rahm Emanuel this week. Podcast is up. Here's an important question that I think we all want an answer to. Is a question on here, or do I need to set it up with a question? All right, Joe, tell me when this is ready. But the premise is, if you had a choice to be stuck in an elevator with Rahm Emanuel or Nancy Pelosi, which would it be? Anybody in Washington, any form of power, would they rather get stuck in an elevator with you or Nancy Pelosi?
Same result. It's just whether you want it in Italian or Hebrew.
So there you go. That's all part of the podcast. Pick that up. And also, yesterday, sat down with General Richard Myers, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Pretty interesting conversation there as well. Where do I get those podcasts?
At WGNradio.com.
Are you sure?
Or if you go to the WGN Radio app, click on podcast, go under Steve Cochran Show. That's the easiest way to listen to podcasts.
Okay. I'll be at the Hawks game tomorrow night. What are you guys doing?
Tomorrow night?
No, in general.
Oh.
I mean, with the rest of your lives. What are your plans?
Everything? I'm going to be on the lookout for the zombie deer. That's my state of emergency.
Well, we're under a national emergency.
As we speak. Clear.
If you sensed the tension rising, it's because of the national emergency.
And you're still going out?
I'm rushing out immediately at 10 o'clock to make sure the world is safe.
I'm supposed to fly tonight. Yeah. Should I be concerned?
You should close your eyes until you get to Nebraska.
Flights have just been grounded. This just in.
All flights?
Every flight?
It's an emergency.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No. That's not true. Wendy had an incident with your Mayor Rahm Emanuel the other day.
I was stalking him. He was recording with you, and I was thinking you were wrapping up, and you were.
Oh, so you were just going to say hi.
I just wanted to say hi. I'm a big fan. Yeah, but his handlers were kept looking at me like going, who's
they
the big
strong-armed
blonde?
Wendy.
Yeah.
He has an intimidating security team that travels with him.
Yes. However, Wendy, that intimidating security guy that you're talking about,
yeah,
the bigger gentleman, he heard me talk about mattresses with you, and you walked away. He goes, I thought my wife was the only one that didn't want to, you know, that I move around in the bed and it bothers her. So I was like, wow.
So he was picking up on a show.
You talk about real things. But he looked like he's scary when he's standing there, and then
he was a real person.
Right. And so his friend got retired, and he sleeps in a different room because his wife still works. And so, like, we had a whole mattress talk.
So you went from really wanting to know what was in the security team's mind to really hoping they'd stop talking.
I was like, wow.
And he admires what you say and do, but he still won't let you have access to the mayor.
I know.
Despite that.
I just wanted to shake his hand.
He'll be it again.
Yeah. Make sure you bring him by. Bring by your friend. Although Dave Ennett was hanging with Bill's best friend last night.
Yes. He was. You and Graham Mulvey?
Graham Mulvey,
yeah.
At the Blackhawks game. He sent us a picture.
To make
which
you
I've
jealous.
Had laminated. It's in our dining room now.
He's your best friend. Why would you need a picture?
Because I like to keep up to date. You know how kids change every day? Grant Mulvey also does every day.
Boy, he's a very handsome man.
He's a very handsome man.
Yes.
Yeah, but aren't you jealous of Dave? It was Valentine's Day, and Grant spent it with Dave, not you.
No, I'm fine with that.
You sure?
Yeah, that's
fine. Okay, we're still good?
Yes. Were you a little hurt?
No.
A little?
No. I want everyone to have a good time, Steve, you know.
What'd you do for Valentine's Day?
Thought about being at the Blackhawks game with Grant Mulvey.
It's not our first day. And by the way, you're welcome. See you Monday.